And all parties are now in conference. You may begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call hosted by the Israel Project with David Afyun, Editor-in-Chief and CEO of the Allgemeiner. My name is Julie Donato. I'm a senior fellow at TIP, and I am joined also by my colleagues Jacob Milner and Elliot Mendes. We will begin by diving a little deeper into David's background before we will then give the floor to him. Jacob will then talk some more about how the Allgemeiner's work ties into what we do here at TIP, and you will have a chance to hear more about the important work that we do in combating the forces that are out there against Israel and combat BDS bills across the country and the future of this important fight. We will then move on to the question and answer session, and please note that after David has spoken, the lines will be closed, so if you wish to submit a question for the question and answer session, please submit it whilst the conference is ongoing, and you can do that by emailing jasonl@theisraelproject.org. And without further ado, allow me to introduce David Afyun, who is widely credited with transforming the Allgemeiner from a Yiddish language print publication into a major international online destination for Jewish, Israel, and Middle East-related news. Under his leadership, the Allgemeiner has achieved number one ranking on the Technorati World Authority Index and was referred to as the fastest-growing Jewish newspaper in America by CNBC. The publication has been described as the Jewish Huffington Post and hosts over 1,500 bloggers. Afyun has two rabbinical degrees and a master's in Hebrew letters. He's regularly interviewed on major TV channels, including CBS, CNBC, Fox News, CNN, I24 News, and Real News TV. He's a popular public speaker and writes a widely read weekly column. He's also authored a chapter on President Obama and Israel in the Global Obama released by Rutledge in 2013. David, thank you so much for being here with us today. We are super excited to have you here with us to discuss some of the most pressing problems facing the Jewish community today. The Allgemeiner and its campus bureau has long been at the forefront of exposing campus discrimination and BDS efforts to delegitimize the Jewish state. And I believe it was the Allgemeiner that broke the story about Rutgers University employing a former Assad spokesperson as an adjunct professor, a story that led national and international headlines and highlights just how vital and groundbreaking the work is that you do. So thank you so much for being here with us today, and I now give the floor to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Julie, and thank you, everybody, for joining. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you and with our dear friends at the Israel Project. I just want to start off with a few remarks about Pittsburgh, which I'll tie into the wider discussion about what's happening on American college campuses today. Of course, it's being described as the deadliest attack on the American Jewish community, and I don't think there is a gathering of Jewishly concerned people today who would start a conversation without addressing this issue. So I just want to share a few words on that first. First, of course, everything is so fresh. We have a couple of our staff on the ground over there. Some of the bodies still haven't even been removed from the location. Some of the funerals have already starting today. There were a couple of interesting observations that we found. One in particular was, looking closely at the perpetrator and what he'd said and what he'd done and the world that he inhabited. It reaffirmed for us what many of us have known for a very, very long time, that anti-Semitism and the hatred of the Jewish people is it's a virus that has taken on almost every possible form. It defies logic. It defies definition. It's irrational. It's in a category completely of its own. I mean, it's taken on religious forms. It's taken on secular forms. It's taken on political forms on the right and political reforms on the left. I mean, even if you look at some of the ideology espoused by the killer himself, it defies categorization, logical categorization. You know, on the one hand, you know, his all over the map in terms of views on different things, and I think it categorized for us or reaffirmed for us that hate and certainly hatred of Jews and anti-Semitism literally sits in a category of its own and needs to be fought and combated in every which place it is found, and obviously seeing how it can translate and understanding that you know, it's possible, feasible for hateful language to quickly become, and hateful thoughts to quickly become deadly and hateful violence, you know, shocks everybody to the core, and it's certainly something that we want to do our best to expose and fight against. The second thing which we found to be encouraging, certainly on the ground, was just the extent of how the wider American community, not just the Jewish community, was so repulsed by this hatred. And almost every aspect of society was represented. You know, we had flags across the country flying at half masts. You had vigils that were attended by Americans of all persuasions by the thousands. There were various fundraising campaigns by different denominations looking to raise money for the families and to assist the families. Cultural figures, sports teams, Hollywood. I mean, every single aspect of American society seemed to join the fray in the outrage and revulsion over this terrible tragedy. And I think that's something that's very, very encouraging, because ultimately, to be able to fight back and to push back, you need to have, you know, as Elie Wiesel said often, that the enemy of hate is the opposite of hate is not love. It's or rather, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. Where people don't care, where it's you know, we go on with our daily lives when this kind of tragedy happens. And I think just from the response from Americans at large and American society, it's very encouraging to see that there's no business as usual, and there isn't the level of indifference that unfortunately we have seen in various European societies. You know, for example, I don't know if everybody here, I'm sure, recalls the terrible tragedies that took place in France at the Jewish school in Toulouse, where at the time Elie Wiesel, who was writing for the Argomaner, he said, you know, it often happens like this. Jewish blood is spilled and temporarily sympathy for Jews grows. The world warms to them. But, you know, he feared that would soon go away. And, of course, a couple of years later, there was another tragic attack at the kosher supermarket in Paris, which led the French Prime Minister to say after the attack, we haven't, to French citizens, we haven't shown enough outrage, he said. And the previous attacks on Jews did not produce the national outrage that our Jewish compatriots expected. And in contrast, American society across the board, we have been seeing that outrage. And to us, that's a very encouraging outcome of this terrible tragedy. Translating that into the college campus scene and the subject of the call today. Kids across, Jewish kids and Friends of Israel across American college campuses face very, very significant challenges. I think it's quite widely known at this stage. There was a study that was conducted by Brandeis, another study by Trinity College that showed respectively that either 75% or 54% of Jewish students on American campuses say that they had witnessed, experienced, or heard anti-Semitism on campus. Now, that's an astronomical number. Just for the sake of comparison, you know, in the United Kingdom last year, in Europe, where a lot of people are concerned about anti-Semitism, there were about 1,000 incidents. That's and with 300,000 Jewish members of the community, you could say that about a third of 1% had witnessed or experienced anti-Semitism and been involved in an anti-Semitic incident. So the numbers on American college campuses are exceedingly high. The groups that are behind it and the methods that they use are deeply troubling, and our young members of our community are standing on the front lines of anti-Semitism in America today. I mean, even last night there was an incident where a former IDF soldier who campaigns on college campuses spoke and addressed what was happening at Pittsburgh, and a group of students about justice in Palestine, this is at Washington University in St. Louis, accused him of and Israelis by extension of being on the wrong side of the fight against white supremacy. They accused him and the state of Israel of being on the side of the white supremacists. And this is, you know, days after a white supremacist has taken Jewish lives at a synagogue. So talk about victim blaming. It's certainly at its worst, and this is a kind of narrative that we see often and regularly. It was this climate that prompted us to create, a couple of years ago, our annual list of the worst colleges for Jewish students and the best colleges for Jewish students in the United States. And it was quite a controversial list, and there are some groups that criticized us for it. And the reason why we did it was really in an effort to highlight the challenges that these young students face. And you know, for us, the most reinforcing feedback was when we heard from some of the students at some of the more troubling schools that finally they felt that their challenges and their plight had been recognized. Now, I just want to add something of a disclaimer here. It is important to note that, you know, despite the challenges that are faced, and there are dozens and dozens of examples, there are about 400,000 Jewish college students in the United States, and obviously even when you talk about very significant numbers, there are many that have a positive experience, and, you know, I think there are 6,000 odd campuses across the United States, and many of them actually don't have many Jewish students studying there. So even though this is a challenge and a trend that we're very, very concerned about and causes issues for a very large segment of Jewish students on campuses, understand that, you know, if you hear from people who say, well, you know, I've been on campus and it's fine, you know, that is often the case as well, that there are people that have perfectly positive experiences. You know, it's never something that affects everybody. You know, even when we talk about France and England and growing anti-Semitism. But, you know, when we look at the trends and we look at the specific challenges that are being faced and the talks that are being interrupted and the way that Jewish students are being ostracized and excluded from all kinds of activity on campus. And we saw at the University of Michigan, for example, where a Jewish student who wanted to study in Tel Aviv was not granted a recommendation just because of her country of choice was Israel. You know, these are real significant challenges, and we really need to push back and stand up to them. So in terms of how these issues are being addressed, the way that we see the challenge is primarily one of education. We know that inherently Americans are repulsed by hatred, by bigotry, by intolerance. That has been confirmed for us many, many times over the last couple of days. The great challenge that we have is one of education, in helping not just students, but college administrators and even fair-minded professors understand just what it is that they are facing on campuses, and really the bigoted nature of many of these groups that are leading the charge. Certainly the Students for Justice in Palestine group, which is usually at the forefront of this kind of animosity towards Jewish and pro-Israel students, According to the State Department definition, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition, which is accepted by the vast majority of Western countries, this is an overtly anti-Semitic group. One recent study run by the UNFA Institute out in the West Coast found that the greatest predictor of anti-Semitic incidents on an American college campus would be the presence of a Students for Justice in Palestine chapter. So the goal that we really face as a community, and I know that TIFF is at the forefront of this effort and watching this environment closely, we are beginning to see a more orchestrated and focused pushback. The goal is to help people understand that despite the fact that they are framing themselves as social justice groups, as warriors for the rights of others, these groups are using such language as a veneer to hide their own inherent bigotry and hatred of all things Israel and Israeli. And we found that they don't even do a great job at hiding it. And time and time and time again, we find more and more examples of overt anti-Semitism among members of these groups, and we do our efforts to we do our best and greatest efforts to highlight this at every opportunity. And I want to take a moment to applaud the work of our campus bureau staff, including Shiri Moshe, who is a TIP graduate, and Andrew Pessin, who is also leading that charge, Professor Andrew Pessin. One more thing that I would just say quickly before I turn the floor back. There are different approaches in terms of how these groups can be handled on campus. In general, the challenge, of course, and the pushback is always one of freedom of speech. Having said that, you know, there is a line, and on all campuses there's a line of when it becomes hate speech or when it becomes violent speech or when it's something that they would not allow. And I've seen two particularly good examples of how these issues have been challenged. One is at the private school Fordham, which is on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. It's a private Jesuit school. It's the only campus in the entire United States that has actually banned the group Students of Justice in Palestine from opening a chapter on campus. And it's currently undergoing a legal battle with a group called Palestine Legal over whether this is going to be allowed to stand. But it's fascinating to read some of the legal documents, a lot of it actually based on Algemeiner reporting and materials. For example, a piece that we did showing how SJP will often try and pass anti-Israel campaigns on Jewish holidays or on Shabbat or on Rosh Hashanah or on Pesach while Jewish students are absent from campus. And this was kind of used to illustrate and paint the picture that this is really an inherently bigoted group. Remains to see what the results of that are going to be, but certainly for private schools, they have a lot more ability to and discretion in terms of what they allow and what they don't allow. Another example that we were very encouraged by was in Michigan, where over a couple of days there were a few deeply troubling instances. There was, as I mentioned, the girl. Actually, there were two instances where recommendations were declined by professors or tutors because it was a university in Israel that they were looking to apply to. And there was also a deeply disconcerting lecture that in which Benjamin Netanyahu was compared to Hitler. And we saw that the response from Michigan was exactly what one might hope from a school that does have the constraints of being publicly funded and dealing with a tenured professor. And what they did is they took concrete punitive measures against the professor to show that that while the school couldn't stop him from saying what he wanted to say, they could punish him and make a very strong statement that this was not something that the school endorsed and that it could take concrete action against faculty members or members of staff who were going to behave in this way. And certainly, you know, they had statements as well from the administration making clear that this was not their position. We saw that as a good model for what campuses throughout the United States facing similar challenges for example, at Rutgers University, which you mentioned, Julie, who handled the situation terribly, they could have taken some direction to how Michigan has handled it, and certainly our activists and the members of our community can push campuses to take actions along those lines and encourage them to do the same. So those are just a few thoughts on Pittsburgh and the general climate. I'm happy to turn the floor back and take any questions that anybody would like to address.
Well, thank you so much, David. That was very insightful. And I think, Jacob, you want to say a few words before we dive into the question and answer session. And please note, this is your last chance to submit any questions. If you have any questions, please email them to jsnell@theisraelproject.org. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Julie, and thank you, David. I just wanted to briefly say my name is Jacob Milner. I head up PIPS Partnership and Coalition Program, and I want to thank everybody for being on this call. I want to thank all of our partners and donors. I want to say thank you to David and the Alka Miner for all the important work that you're doing, shedding light on these important issues. You've been an excellent partner for the Israel Project over the years. I just wanted to say, you know, the work TIP is doing in the anti-BDS front to fight back really does dovetail very well with what David was saying. We're really working to build coalitions from the right to the left, Jews and non-Jews, Democrats and Republicans, in this ecosystem that exists to fight hate, to fight bigotry, and to fight discrimination. What the Israel Project is doing in building these coalitions is working with national organizations, local organizations, in some cases local lay leaders, students on campus sometimes as well, to help message and help ensure that the anti-BDS work that we're doing is at the highest possible level, so that when things occur on campus, there are mechanisms and infrastructure to back up that student issues that occur. And while TIP might not necessarily be focused on campus issues, we are working to ensure that states don't sanction anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli discrimination. And we're hoping that these state laws on the state and even in some cases the municipal levels help trickle down to help inform schools, especially state-funded institutions, so that they have a better sense of what they can do to help protect Jewish students from discrimination. And I think that this is all part of, as I said, the ecosystem that exists, that TIP is playing a major role in, and with that the Alka Miner is playing a important role in getting the information out there. And so I want to thank David again. I want to thank everybody who's on this call. And with that, I will turn it back to Julie.
Thank you, Jacob, and with that, we will open the question and answer session. If I maybe can, just to get the ball rolling, ask the first question. David, you referred in your discussion about discrimination on campus and all of that, how polarizing and toxic the situation can be for Jewish students. And I was wondering, with the overall general political climate being increasingly polarized in the country, and many people having issues with separating their dislike for the president from the policies of the president, you know, like recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital and separating sort of policy from personality, do you feel that this translates to campuses, that Jewish students are now having even in a harder time than they used to because of that, and that it sort of reflects again how important it is to nurture this whole bipartisanship when it comes to Israel and the Jewish community that has been really defining of the U.S.-Israel relationship for many decades?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that, you know, one of the biggest challenges that the Jewish students face is the lumping together of issues, the assignment of various causes as being synonymous with one another, and therefore, if one is justified, the other is justified. If one is not justified, the other is not justified. It's commonly known nowadays as the concept is commonly known as intersectionality. And I think there are different ways that this manifests itself. You know, for Jewish students. So, for example, you know, what you're saying, where somebody will come along and say, well, If you don't like Trump, then you can't like, you know, if you think Trump is bad, then you have to think Israel is bad, right? Those two things are synonymous with one another. If you want to support the rights of black people, then you can't support Israel either, because Israel is training cops in the United States who are persecuting black people. I mean, these are the actual narratives that we see on campuses. And it makes it very difficult for a couple of reasons. First of all, because political alliances are not necessarily always logical. I mean, groups join hands because they're stronger together and that they can be more effective together. And even if the alliance doesn't necessarily make so much sense, or it's immoral, etc. So, you know, for young Jewish students coming onto campuses who are trying to take a reasoned and a rational approach to this kind of this alliance of convenience, this illogical alliance of convenience, it really is a very, very significant challenge. And I think the solution goes back to the idea of the importance of education and helping people realize and understand that these ideas are not synonymous with one another, and that what Israel stands for has value in and of itself. And in the end of the day, what the most effective groups are doing is actually helping the other minority groups on campus understand that what Israel stands for is actually far more in line with what they stand for than with what the other groups stand for. So, for example, when we talk about building alliance with LGBT rights communities on campuses, yes, they're traditionally aligned with the progressive left on a campus, which is part of the group that views Israel as automatically bad. Having said that, you know, groups like SJP and what they stand for and their affiliation with Islamist radicals, etc., there's no support for the gay community there. Whereas in Israel, there's a society where, you know, that community is very much supported. So I think the efforts to educate and help people understand that these intersectional alliances of convenience are wholly misguided and just the product of misinformation and demagoguery and propaganda is really the first step. So trying to build those alliances in the way that you articulated for the Jewish groups, for Israel groups, in the same way that they're doing on the other side, but more effectively, is certainly a big key to turning back the tide.
And following up on what you just said, some of our audience members would like to know if you think more can be done to remove Students for Justice of Palestine from colleges, given that they are receiving funding from terrorist organizations, from extremists, that they are obviously anti-Semitic in nature. Is there something more we can do, in your view, to remove these groups from the scene or make them illegitimate?
Well, I think it certainly is. It's a big challenge. It's a huge challenge because you're really the what you're up against is the Constitution, right? Because that's always what they will hide behind, and certainly for the public schools and schools that are receiving public funding, they're very concerned about it. Having said that, there is unquestionably a double standard at play, because there are groups and speakers that are banned from college campuses all the time because they have offended one person's sensitivity or another. So this sort of free speech argument is deployed selectively, and that's certainly the greatest challenge. In the end of the day, what it boils down to is the more noise we can make, the more clearly we can articulate and provide evidence for the hateful nature of these groups and the behaviors that they encourage, as was the case in Michigan, as was the case in Fordham, the better chance we have of I don't know about banning, that's certainly a lot to call for, certainly from the public schools. It's something that we would want, don't get me wrong. But the one step before banning the groups is making sure that they have absolutely no campus support and any campus bodies, including students or departments, that are actually engaging in support for these groups would be penalized or face repercussions. So, you know, there's certainly a lot more that can be done, and the more that we do to undermine the inherently bigoted nature of groups like SJP, the better chance there is that campuses are going to want to think twice before lending support to the organizations and ultimately allowing them to be active on campus.
And then maybe one final question. What would you say sets the Allgemeine apart from other Jewish outlets with regards to work that you do on campus discrimination and BDS? And given all the work that you do and the great work and often groundbreaking work that you do you feel you're making a difference? Do you see the situation improving, or do you think the situation will actually deteriorate further before it will get better?
I think the truth is, out of everything that we do at the Allgemeine, I would peg our campus bureau as among our most impactful initiatives. The power that media has to call people's attention to things and to prompt action on the ground. I think it was the British playwright Tom Stoppard who said that if you want an immediate tool for activism, there's none better than journalism. We have seen situations on campuses which faced legal action and were ignored for years and years, but the second they get a phone call from the journalists in a publication, people respond and they jump to attention. And, you know, we witnessed this in terms of our coverage of anti-Semitism in Europe. We don't view it as, you know, a one-hit wonder. It's a machine gun that we built over a long period of time, where day after day after day after day we can address one issue and another issue and another issue and help people really understand what the challenges are at stake and how they can be addressed. And I think, you know, there are no easy fixes and nothing happens overnight, but I would say between now and 5 years ago, I wouldn't say that the challenges are any less, but I think the pushback has improved significantly, both in terms of on-the-ground efforts and in terms of our efforts to shine a spotlight on what's really going on and help people understand what they're really facing. And we have seen many, many, many examples of on-the-ground impact. I'll share with you just a couple of them. You know, a couple of months ago, we were approached by some students at Kent State University in Ohio who said that, their anti-Israel group on campus, I think it was a branch of SJP, wanted to get a mural of Golda Meir removed. The mural had a quote, something she'd said that was completely apolitical, just about finding your purpose in life. But because she was Israeli, they wanted it taken down. And, you know, we had heard that the administration was actually considering it. We published a story on the issue. And a couple of days later, we got a call from the office of the dean, who said, you know, we want to let you know that we've decided to keep it up, but you have to promise us one thing, that you're going to write an article about our decision, because we need all these phone calls to stop. It's become too much. So certainly, in the ability of a media outlet to mobilize, to hold people to account, it's been hugely effective on campuses, because it's not a place where the mainstream media, if you will, is focusing a lot of attention. I believe that we are the only Jewish publication in the world that has a dedicated campus bureau where there are staff that are specifically daily focused on what's happening on campuses and can shine a spotlight on it. There's certainly a heck of a lot more that even we can do and that we will be doing. But I think this has been a positive step in the right direction and a move towards pushing back this great tide of hate that we've seen developing over a long period of time.
Thank you so much. That was really insightful, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us here today. And I would also like to thank again everyone on the call for taking the time, our partners, donors. If you have any more questions, please feel free to follow up with us via email if you want to know more about the work that TIP is doing to confront anti-Israel hatred on campus, BDS, and beyond that, please feel free to reach out to me or to reach out to Jacob. And I'm sure if you want to know more about what the Allgemeine is doing, then David and his team will be happy to answer your questions. And that concludes today's call. And thank you so much again, everyone, for taking the time to be here with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.